God's good. Amen. You know, one of the fondest memories I have, my sweet dad, as you know, is in heaven. And one of the great memories I have being with my dad is for many, many years, you know, we lived in New Jersey. My dad lived in New Jersey. Whenever I would go and see him in the summertime, spring, and then the summertime, we would always do the same thing, which we both love. My dad had a 30-foot boat, he would, I would no sooner get there, and we'd head out to the shore. We'd head down to the Jersey Shore, where we would get that Sea Ray out and get it in the water if it wasn't already in the water. And then my dad, he'd call a tower and give our boat signal, our boat license or whatever, and the code on the side of the boat. And there was a drawbridge that had to be lifted. So my dad would radio the tower, and then they would radio the person at the drawbridge. And then by the time we got out there good, they would lift that drawbridge, and we would head down the channel and out into the Atlantic Ocean. And man, we have some times. We would have some times out there. And, we had a Lowrance computer on board, and my dad, he'd set that computer, you know, and we could go to any point where he'd previously been. And sometimes, you know, out there on the ocean, it's a whole different life. You know, the shore, as you're going out to the Atlantic Ocean, there's places to stop and eat. You know, you dock the boat, you get off, and you have a bite of lunch, or you fuel the boat up before you go out into the deep water, and then you just head out to the Atlantic. And man, sometimes we'd go and fish, and sometimes we'd just put the thing in a cruising gear, and we'd just cruise around and just have the best conversations, the best talks, and we'd be talking about Christ and the things of God and the things of the Lord, and then I'd get over driving it and just have a blast. I can remember one time we got out there and the weather turned on us, and man, those clouds rolled in and the waves started billowing, and man, the seas got rough, and man, I put that thing in gear and we were headed back to the dock as quickly as we could. But that boat, you know, boating, there's all kinds of rules. Just like, you know, you drive a car, you got rules, you have lanes and rules and things you have to follow. And the same thing in boating, you have to follow different rules. There are lanes, there are shipping lanes. And when you go out to the Atlantic Ocean there, you go through a channel. It's a narrow body of water that leads you out to the Atlantic. And sometimes the channel winds around different directions. And then the channel leads you back to the dock. And there are all kind of rules, you know, like, for example, if you're in the channel, you can't just go speeding through there like you're on a, you know, like on a, you're on a, you know, just zipping through there, creating what they call a wake. You can't cause a wake in the channel. And if so, then there's a police boat. They come over, they give you a ticket, just like a police car would pull you over. A police boat, they put the sirens on, and we've seen them out there giving people tickets. My dad was always telling me when we were heading out through the channel, now, Bill, don't run it up too high, because if you create that wake, we'll get a ticket. You know, I said, okay, Dad, all right, you know. His boat, you know, we'd cruise out there about 25 knots when we get it out there in the cruising gear, and it'd go fast. We'd have so much fun doing that and just having conversations, just too numerous to tell. And sometimes my dad had a little honey hole where he liked to fish, and if he had a new honey hole, he would set the Lowrance and plot the coordinates of his fishing spot. And so before we would even leave the dock, we would bring up that coordinate. Our dad said, I got a new fishing hole. And he just hit one button, and then the computer, just a little boat comes on the computer window, and you just follow that boat right on out to it till you get right above that water, and then you drop the anchor and start fishing. I can't tell you how many times we did that. But you know, the rules in the channel, you went out on one side of the channel, you came back on another. You couldn't just zigzag across the channel. You couldn't just go any direction you want. There's rules and laws, as I say, about how you do all of those things. But we always had a fantastic time with that. You know, he called me years after, he'd gotten too old to take care of the boat. He said, Bill, I'm just saving the boat for you. You let me know what you want to do with it. I'm just going to save it for you. And by that time, he hadn't been able to take care. My dad always meticulously took care of his boat. I mean, it was wrapped in leather and teak wood all over it. The first deck, the second deck, leather, teak wood everywhere. And he stopped doing it. He said, man, I'm getting too old to get out there with it. And he let it go, and the teak wood started to crack. And It needed a bunch of work done at the end. But the time he called and said, I'm saving my boat for you, I said, Dad, just, you know, sell it or do something with it, because it's going to take, you know, last time I saw your boat, it's going to take $20,000, $25,000 to put the thing back in repair. And I don't have a dock here to put it in Tulsa. And I said, I want a boat, but that'll be a little bit later. So, you know, man, did we have a time out there back and forth. You have your Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. No doubt you've read this story before. Apostle Paul is in one of the biggest storms of his life. It didn't start out that way. It started out very meek and mild, and the way he got onto this boat is he was before Governor Festus and Governor Felix, given a defense as a prisoner, and he defended himself well, but he thought that the Jews were trying to trick him into being released, that they could kill him, and when it looked like they might not release him anyway, around Acts 25 and into 26, Paul, as a Roman citizen, did something that only Roman citizens could do. He appealed his case to Caesar. And as a Roman citizen, they had to honor that. And so, you know, Felix and Festus said, well, you know, he didn't do anything wrong, but he's appealed to Caesar. To Caesar, he'll go. And so that's how he wound up on this ship in Acts chapter 27. He's headed really to Rome. And let's read a little bit, get the context. I'm reading New Living Translation, New Living Translation. It didn't take very long for this to all go wrong. Acts 27, verse 1, when the time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the imperial regiment. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was also with us. We left on a ship whose home port was the Andromitan on the northwest coast of the province of Asia. It was scheduled to make several stops at the ports along the coast of the province. The next day, when we docked at Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore with friends so that they could provide for his needs. Now, it got all bad from here. Verse 4, putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course. And so we sailed north of Cyprus between the island and the mainland, keeping to the open sea. We passed along the coast of Cilicia, Pamphylia, landing at Myra in the province of Lycia. And there, the commanding officer found an Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy, and he put us on board. We had several days of slow sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus, but the wind was against us. And so we sailed across to Crete and along the sheltered coast of the island, past the Cape of Salmone. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens near the town of Lycia. Verse 9, we had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Men, he said, I believe there's trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, further up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there. And Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. 13. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it, so they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. 14, but the weather changed abruptly, and the wind of typhoon strength, called a nor'easter, burst across the island, blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, and so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of the small island Cauda with great difficulty. We hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. 17, then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of Cytis off the African coast. And so they lowered the anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, a gale force wind continued to batter the ship. The crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. Verse 20, finally, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last, all hope was gone. You know, they got out here in the open water, and they were blown hundreds of miles off course. And at this point, from, you know, Luke is one of the people with him. He does such an excellent job giving us complete, explicit details of the ship's log and what was going on, what was being said, where they were headed, what the conditions of the weather was. Luke does an outstanding job informing us of all of that. But the bottom line is this: they are blown so far off course. Tonight, really quickly, I want to share seven dangers of an unyielded vessel. The title of this message is The Danger of an Unyielded Vessel. The Danger of an Unyielded Vessel. But in our time that we have, I'm going to do this quick. Seven dangers of an unyielded vessel. Seven dangers of an unyielded vessel. Oftentimes in Scripture compares our lives, our Christian lifestyle, to that of a ship. Even there's times in Scripture where the Scripture says someone did not respond properly to the Lord or in faith, and they became shipwrecked. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, for example, 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19, it says, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Shipwreck. And so the Bible compares these two brothers there. And 1 Timothy says their faith actually became like, compared it to shipwreck, being shipwrecked. And let me tell you this, God doesn't want any of us to wind up with shipwreck faith. I said, God loves every single one of us, and he wants us to stay on course. And the thing about it is, if we stay on course, then the ship will be where it's supposed to be, when it's supposed to be, and we'll arrive where we're supposed to be going. Amen. Amen. But if we get out from listening to him, get out on our own, certain things can happen. We can drift away if we're not careful. Yes. And so seven dangers of an unyielded vessel. Seven dangers of an unyielded vessel. Number one, the failure to be guided and programmed with correct information. The failure to be guided and programmed with correct information. Look at verses 9 through 12. Verses 9 through 12 of our chapter there, chapter 27, Acts 27, 9 through 12. The failure to be guided and programmed with correct information. We had lost a lot of time, Paul said. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Men, he said, I believe there's trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and owner than to Paul. You know, the captain of the ship and the owner of the ship, they listened to incorrect information. Paul had information that he got from the Holy Spirit, and he shared that information with the captain and the owner of the ship. And they essentially, they asked the owner of the ship, and the owner of the ship didn't want to not sail. He wanted to sail. And when you see how much cargo they had on it, they had 276 souls on board the ship, Luke tells us, 276 souls. And they just had a ton of cargo and wheat. The wheat must have been very precious because they threw that aside last. But the owner and the captain, they talked about it, and the owner wanted to sail, and the captain wanted to sail, and they took a, kind of a straw poll. And even though Paul was saying, I sense this is not going to go well. I sense this is going to end in shipwreck. I sense there's going to be a loss of cargo, loss of life. We already mentioned when we started out verse 9, loss of time, valuable loss of time. And the Lord, he guides. He tries to guide you and I. And the thing is, though, we have to be a yielded vessel unto him. And God, he has the information that we need, because he can look ahead in our lives and he can see what's to come. And when the Lord sees danger or hindrance or obstacle, he begins signaling you and I. And if we're sensitive to that, then we can avoid certain things. Can't avoid everything. We live in a fallen world. And sometimes just bad stuff happens to just really good people. We live in a fallen world. But there are times when there are certain things you and I can avoid if we'll listen to the Lord. Has the Lord ever tried to get your attention and you weren't listening? I remember years and years ago, the Lord tried to get my attention about my sweet mama. And he was trying to tell me she was getting ready to go home and be with the Lord. But Brother Bill wouldn't listen. Matter of fact, every time he prompted me, I rebuked that in the name of Jesus. I couldn't tell till later. After she went home, I saw time and time again, the Lord was trying to get my attention. I wasn't yielded. Now later, you know, my dad passed away in 2014, but I was yielded then. The Lord, he started speaking to me 2 years out, 2012, he started talking to me about my dad going home. I started journaling what the Lord was saying. I prepared a video, memorial video, a year and a half before my dad ever went home. He got me right. I knew, I could see where at one, he tried to prepare me for my mama. I wasn't listening. I wasn't yielding. But with my sweet dad, I was listening. I was yielded. I was able to really concentrate on those 2 years and really enjoy that time. I said, God, he's looking for a yielded vessel. He is trying to get something to you. He's trying to help you and I. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. And this is no time to be blown off course. This is no time to be found drifting away from the things of God. This is a time to make sure that the ship is intact and that the sails are strong and that your heart is sensitive to God. The Bible tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. So it's impossible for us to see everything and know everything. But there are some things that God will reveal if we're sensitive to him. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. And so they were programmed with wrong information, the failure to be programmed by correct information. They should have listened to Paul when he said there's going to be a shipwreck, loss of life, loss of cargo. And they should have programmed themselves with that information. They would have avoided disaster. But they were listening to the wrong folk. And the worst thing you can do is take a straw poll of what you should do in your life. Ask the majority about it. They'll get it wrong. You better ask the Lord about it. Paul had some inside information. And if they had gone with that, they could have avoided terrible loss. But they wouldn't listen. Romans 8, 14 and 16 says that his spirit is in contact with our spirits because we're the children of God. He bears witness with our spirit. And I tell you, we've got to yield to that. The failure to be guided and programmed with correct information. Secondly, the failure to stay on course. Being tossed to and fro by the wind. The failure to stay on course. Look at verses 4, verses 7, verses 14, verses 20. You know what they all say? How the wind blew them off course. Verse 4, putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course. Verse 7, but the wind was against us. Verse 14, but the weather changed abruptly. The wind of typhoon strength, called a nor'easter, burst across the island and blew us out to sea. Verse 19, the terrible storm raged for many days. 27, about midnight on the 14th night of the storm, we were being driven across the Sea of Adria. The sailors sensed land was near. You could see over and over again, it was the failure to stay on course. Over in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, James said this, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Now look at this. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. And I tell you, the thing that we've got, if we're going to stay on course, we've got to avoid doubt and unbelief in our lives. Because doubt and unbelief will blow us one way and then turn around and blow us the other way. And one moment we're believing God and we're in faith and we're trusting God. And the other moment we don't know if we're going to die. And we're going to die. I said, we got to stay on course. And the only way to do that is we've got to avoid doubt and unbelief will blow us off course every single time. And the Bible said a man divided like that shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. You'll get blown off course if you give way to doubt and unbelief. They are strong winds that will blow you way off course. Thirdly, the failure to get rid of the excess weight on board the ship. Failure to get rid of the excess weight. Look at verses 18, 19, and then 38. 18, 19, and then 38 of Acts 27. 18 says, the next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. 19, the following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. 38, after eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. They knew if they were going to survive, they were going to have to lighten the ship. And let me tell you something, my brother and sister. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2 tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus and to get rid of the weight of sin. Sin will weigh us down every single time. Amen. But there's something else we have to cast overboard. Let me tell you this. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 and the New American Standard says this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You can't carry the weight of anxiety, the weight of worry. And if you carry the weight of anxiety and worry, you'll get blown off course. Anxiety and worry will blow you hundreds of miles off course. Anxiety and worry and fear will get you smack dab out of the will of God. You can't afford to carry that kind of cargo. That kind of cargo is too heavy. You can't carry that cargo on board the ship. You got to cast your care. What are you going to do with it? Cast it on the Lord. Cast it over on the Lord. They got rid of all the excess weight. And I just say this too, for somebody's benefit. Listen, sometimes excess weight means that we have to obey God, do what God told you. You might be here tonight and God told you, hey, the person that you're with or the person that you're thinking of being with, that's the wrong person. If God ever tells you something like that, listen, just obey the Lord. What you might have to cast overboard is another person. I'm not speaking to married people. I'm not talking to any married folks in here. Let's be clear. But single people, sometimes when you met somebody and the Lord's telling you about that person and you're single, the Lord's telling you about that person. Hey, listen, if the Lord tells you that's not the right one, he's got something better for you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Some people let the ship of their life get blown way off course with the wrong person on board. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Can't get no amen. All right. Failure to get rid of the excess weight. Number four, the failure to strengthen the ship. Look down at verse 17. The failure to strengthen the ship will get you blown off course. Verse 17. It says, then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They thought the ship would crack, and so they threw ropes and cables down underneath the ship and then brought them together to strengthen the ship so that the ship could survive the storm. And there are times, my brother and sister, when we have to strengthen ourselves. There are times every day, every week, we have to strengthen ourselves with the mighty word of God. Amen? And Philippians 4:13 says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Isaiah 40:29-31 says he gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, he increases power. Youths grow weary and tired. The vigorous young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. I said, God will strengthen you. Yes. But you'll have to put your face in the book. Yes. And there's something about just coming to church on a Sunday night that will add strength to you, whether or not you realize it, sitting right there. One of the great blessings to just coming out to the house of God is that God will strengthen you right there in the pew. You will leave here stronger than when you came in. I said, I wish I had an amen. There's a blessing to come into church. The failure to strengthen the ship. Number five, the failure to stay on board the ship. Look at verses 30 and 32. Verses 30 and 32. It says there, then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, you will die unless the soldiers stay on board. And so the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. You may be going through a storm. You may be going through turmoil. Life may not be easy, but let me tell you this. You better stay on board the ship. Amen. This gospel ship is the only thing sailing. I said, this gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing. It's the only solid ground there is. It's the only thing floating. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. There's hope in nobody else, help in nothing else. There's help, hey, in God alone. And God will see you through. Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And we've got to stay on board the ship. They were trying to get away, and Paul said, if they get off this ship, they're going to die. And sometimes when you're going through turmoil, the devil try to make you think, well, you should get off, get off. You should stop going to church. You should stop serving God. You should stop, you know, you should stop following Christ. Get off the ship, get off the ship. Don't you get off the ship. That's the worst decision you can make. I don't care what you're going through. Stay on board the ship. He will safely guide you to the port. 1 John 5:11-13 says, whoever has the Son of God has the life. He who doesn't have the Son doesn't have the life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Oh, yeah. It's the only ship sailing with eternal life. Number six, the failure to believe what God has spoken. The failure to believe what God has spoken will cause you to be blown hundreds of miles out of the will of God. Look at verses 21 through 26 and 33 through 37. Verse 21 through 26. The Bible says no one had eaten for a long time. And finally, Paul called the crew together and said, man, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, and it'll be just as he said. But we will be shipwrecked on some island. And then then 33 through 37, it says, just as the day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. You've been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks, he said. Please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair of your head will perish. And then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them all, broke off a piece and ate it. And then everyone was encouraged and began to eat, all 276 of us who were on board. Paul said an angel stood by him, the God who I serve. And I love it. He said, not a hair on your head is going to be damaged. And you know, the Lord's got a word. He's got a rhema word for somebody right in this place tonight. God's saying to you, not a hair on whatever you're going through, there's not a hair on your head going to be damaged. When you come out, you're going to come out like pure gold. Not a hair on your head going to be damaged. So don't you worry. Don't you fret. Believe what the Lord has told you and stand firm in faith. And hey, God will bring you through. Yes, he will. I said the Lord will bring you through. When it looked like you're not going to make it, God will cause you to make it. When it looked like you can't stand, God will enable you to stand. When it looked like you're going under, God will cause you to go over. When it looked like you're not going to make it to the other side, God will cause you to safely get to the other side. I said, I wish I had an amen in here. Amen. We serve a God. He can do anything but fail. Yes. Thank you, Lord. And Paul told him, not a hair on your head is going to be damaged. Praise God. And he told him, look, you hadn't eaten for 2 weeks. You were been so worried. And he said, you should have listened to me, but you didn't. You programmed with the wrong information. But he said, oh, an angel told me, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And that's God's word to you tonight as well. Don't you be afraid. Somebody said, well, if an angel came and appeared to me like an angel appeared to Paul, I wouldn't be afraid either. But let me tell you something. We have something more sure than a word of any angel. The words in this book the words in this book are firmer and sure. I wish I had an amen in here. Are firmer and sure. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. The words of this book can be counted on, can be relied on, can be trusted in, can be spoken, can be believed with confidence. I wish I had an amen. I said, hey, God's word is a rock, and the rock will hold you up. And so, I tell you, the failure to believe what God has spoken. God has spoken in this book. You are the head and not the tail. You're going over and not under. Greater is he who's in you than he that's in. I said the failure to believe what God has already spoken. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. And number seven, the failure to properly use the rudder on the ship. Down at verse 40, it says there, so they cut the anchors and left them in the sea. They lowered the rudders, raised the foresail, and headed toward the shore. There were very important things they had to do with that rudder. Look with me at one more scripture over in James chapter 3, James chapter 3 and verse 4. Look at James chapter 3. And verse 4, we're talking about the rudder, the failure to properly use the rudder. Oh man, that will get you off real quick. Failing to use the rudder. James 3 and verse 4 says, and consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, through the tongue, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how large forest a small fire ignites. Let me tell you this, your tongue is the rudder. The ship of your life, your tongue is the rudder. Here James talking to spirit-filled Christians about a fleshly tongue, about an undisciplined tongue. But let me tell you this, God expects you and I to use the rudder of the ship. Because the rudder will guide your life. The rudder will guide your course. The rudder will keep you on track. Your tongue, speaking and confessing the mighty word of God. The word coming off your tongue will guide you safely to where you're going. If you'll begin to say, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Listen, if you'll begin to confess God's mighty word off of your tongue, he'll bring you safely to where you're going. Yes, he will. We have to use the rudder of the ship correctly. He said there that the rudder can cause such a large fire, can set your whole course of life on fire if you're not careful, speaking and saying the wrong things. We've got to make sure we've got the right thing coming off our mouth. I said, believing the right thing in our heart and then confessing the right thing off of our mouth will cause our ship to stay on course. And it may get rocky and the wind may blow and the wind may whip, but I tell you, your ship will stay on course. And one more thing about the rudder. If you'll use the rudder, we have a great advantage. Spirit-filled believers have a great advantage. Listen, to take the time to yield ourselves over to him, praying in the Holy Ghost. The value and the benefit to you and I cannot be told of taking the time to pray, to yield over to him and pray in the Holy Ghost. Because you see, we don't know everything. Anybody willing to admit that? Three people willing to admit that. We don't know everything. And the thing is, God, he does know everything. Our Heavenly Father knows everything. And when we take the time to yield ourselves over in the Holy Ghost, what happens? The Lord will begin to guide us and direct us in accordance with his will. I'll say this and we'll go. I shared this story before when my son Stephen and my daughter-in-law Amy, in 2012 when they got married, we were marrying him on a cruise ship. And we were headed to the airport. And we were headed to the airport and everything was intact. Everything was ready to go. But in the car, I was praying in the spirit about the morning flights and I prayed in English everything I knew. And then just yielded myself over to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm just going to yield over to you. I don't know anything, so I'm just going to yield over to you. And started praying in the Holy Spirit. And man, it got hot and fast real quick praying in the Holy Ghost. And And man, I prayed all the way to the airport. I mean, just fast and furious. And about 5 minutes from the airport, man, I'm telling you, a peace of God, a peace from heaven hit me. And lifted one hand off the wheel and just said, thank you, Lord, whatever it is, I know it's going to be all right. And we pulled up there to that airport. I pulled up, let the family out. I'm going to go park the car, long-term parking. Man, we pulled up to the airport. There's lines zigzagging around the little barriers and then out the door. And we said, man, look how many people are at the airport. And man, that's the line we got to get in. And then the ticket agent said, listen, if you're in this part of the line from here back, you're not going to make a flight. And that time period, they had lots of missions trips going out from all over the city of Tulsa. There's all kind of missions groups, 20, 30, 40 strong. I mean, it was bad. And they said, you're not going to make it. Get out of line. I remember my family said, what do you want us to do? I said, stay in that line. And I got a sky cap, and she was trying to help me. And she said, I've tried. They won't take it. They won't take your tickets. I've taken all your tickets. I've tried to give them to them. They won't take them. They just said to get you out of line. I told her, I said, you are my angel today. I said, somehow we're getting on that plane. They say, why was you so bold? Because I done already prayed about it. I've done already sensed what I was praying about. I had a note of victory at the end. I felt in my spirit, keep on fighting, don't give up. I said I had some inside information that I didn't get on my own. I got from the Holy God. I wish I had an amen in here. And so I didn't want to give up. And so I said, you're my angel. And my family was saying, you want us to get out of line? Should we go on but try to get another flight? I said, no, if we get another flight, we're going to miss. We got a party. We got a party to throw down there. All our relatives are meeting us in Florida at a hotel. We're throwing a big dinner party for the kids. And so I said, no, don't get out of line. Lady came back, said, I can't do it. I said, you're my angel. She went back again, just stood there. And finally, they took the tickets. Got us on board. We were one of the last group to get on board. Got us all on board. Sat down in the seat, just said, thank you, Father. You know more. You know more. I'm so glad I yielded myself. So glad I yielded myself over to you. Because I would have just got out of line. And sometimes we're missing out on a blessing that God wanted us to have because we didn't yield ourselves over to the Lord. And sometimes if we take an extra 5 minutes and just yield our tongue, just yield the rudder, just yield our tongue over to the Lord. He can show you more in 5 minutes praying in the Holy Ghost than you can see through a telescope over 10 years. But we have to be yielded to him. Yielded to him. God wants the ship, our ship, to stay on course. And we're just if we let him be the captain and let him guide and direct, then he'll lead us in the right way. But tonight he wants to get somebody's attention. He wants to get all of our attention. There's something here for everybody. But right now he's speaking to someone, and maybe you're not living the way you should. Every head bowed. And you know exactly what I'm saying. Maybe you're not living the way you should be, and maybe one time you were sailing with Jesus. You were in the correct shipping lane. The Holy Ghost wind was blowing you in the right direction in accordance with the will of God. And now you've turned. You love the Lord, but you're living your own life your own way. You're doing your own thing. And the Lord's dealing with you tonight. And you want to come back and you want to make it right. With every head bowed, let me see your hand. I want you to pray for me. God's dealing with me. I see your hand, yes. God's dealing with me. I know the Lord's trying to get me back on course. He's trying to get me steered back on course. And let me tell you this, tomorrow's not promised to anybody here. They took depth soundings. They found out after being out that last night of that raging storm, they were in 120 feet deep of water. They took soundings again. They were in 90 feet deep. And they thought, we're going to hit the rocks. We're going to crack. And they threw the anchor down. But tonight, you're here and you say, I need to get this right with the Lord. And he loves you. He wants to help you. His wind that he blows to get us back on track is not a harsh wind. It's a gentle wind filled with love and kindness. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. But you better obey that. Maybe you're here and maybe you've never given your life to Christ before. You want to do that tonight. You want to give your life to Christ for the first time. Let me see your hand. Anybody here, the first time you've never done that, you want to give your life to Christ tonight. You may be here tonight and you say, you know what, that last point you were making about the rudder, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, like it says in Acts 2, chapter 4. They spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I want that valid New Testament biblical experience tonight. Let me see your hand. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You want to get the rudder going real good. Anybody in here? Yes, I see your hand. Yeah. Amen. So I want you to do something for me because God's going to help you. I want you to boldly just stand up on your feet. You raised your hand on any of those invitations. Just boldly stand on your feet. Just stand on your feet. That's right. That's right. Just stand up on your feet. That's right. Now, just come on down here. I know it's a long walk, but God's going to help you. He's going to bless you. He's going to make it more than worth your while. Just come down here. God's going to help you tonight. He's going to help you tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stay right there. Praise God. Come on, little patty cake. Aren't you excited? God is so good. Somebody, God's dealing with you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody else in here, God's trying to help you. He's trying to get something to you tonight. He loves his children. God loves you. He loves you so much. He's trying to help you. See, if you turn and go the other way, you're going to allow your ship to be blown way off course. You turn and go the other way, you're going to allow the enemy to blow you off course when God's trying to get you back on track. Oh, but if you'll listen tonight, if you'll listen, he will help you and he will direct you. Ladies, I want you just to lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift, because that's where our help comes from, right? Just lift one hand to the Lord. And one of you may be saved, one of you may not. So that's okay. We're just going to all say this prayer together, all of us as a church family. Just say this after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just repent. I surrender control of my life to you. Ask you to forgive me. Ask you to cleanse me. Ask you to make me the person you want me to be. Ask you to set me back on course. Set me back on the right track. Set me back in your will and accomplish your purpose and plan in me. And I'll live for you all of my days. Thank you, Father, for the mighty filling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Thank you for it. Oh, in the name of Jesus, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Ladies, I want you to go with someone to a place of prayer. And our sister Winnie is coming here, and she's an anointed woman of God. And she's just going to make sure you get all your questions answered, give you some free materials. Let me tell you something. You will mark this day in your lives because God will make it so worth the fact that you came down to honor the Lord and obey the Lord. God's going to make it worth your time. So if you'll go with these ladies right now, they're going to answer any other questions you have and help you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Just point your hand toward them, Father. We just thank you for them in the name of Jesus right now. Our precious sisters, Father God, we just lift them up to you and pray that this night will go down, Father God, in the record of their lives as that time when you reconciled them and helped them and turned them around and strengthened them and gave them everything they needed. May they look back to this night and say, Father God, that's when you started that in my life. That's when you blessed me. So we thank you for helping them and strengthening them. May they flow, overflow in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Everything else they need, healing and strength in their bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, keep that ship on course. Keep that ship on track. God's got some great things in store. Stand up on your feet now. These other brothers and sisters coming are here to pray with you and agree with you. Maybe you feel like there's some area of your life you need agreement in. You want somebody to pray with you. Well, they're not here to counsel you, but they are here to pray with you. And if you'll come forward as we dismiss, then they'll pray with you in Jesus' name. You won't leave like you came. Praise God. So just lift one hand to the Lord. Father, we just thank you now unto our King, eternal, immortal, invisible, our only wise God. Be honor and glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my friend. Come on forward if you need prayer. If not, we'll see you right here. Pastor Mrs. Hagen will be back on Sunday. Wednesday. It's Wednesday, right? So be here for Hour of Power Wednesday and then Sunday. So God bless you. You're dismissed.